the world over. Because today, like every day, there are people who are desperately hungry for a slice of bread, a handful of rice. And there are churches and there are agencies trying to bring them nourishment. Today, like every day, there are people falsely accused and wrongly convicted or imprisoned for religious and political convictions, and there are churches and agencies trying to set them free. Today, like every day, there are serious injustices perpetuated in our Australian cities and rural communities, and there are churches and agencies trying to bring about changes. Today, like every day, there are people accidentally killed and injured or diseased and dying, shocked and weeping, and there are churches and agencies trying to ease their distress. Today, like every day, there are many unemployed and unwanted, or addicted to alcohol and drugs, or in prostitution and crime, and there are churches and agencies trying to help them. Today, like every day, there is hidden frustration and sorrow and loneliness and fear, mental torment and self-hatred, and there are churches and agencies trying to bring relief. Loving God, please hear the cry of human need and bless those who are attempting to answer it. Help church in the marketplace and us as individuals as we play our small role in any or all of those needs. Lord God, our help in ages past, nothing in space or time can come between you and us, nor can we ever be lost, not even in the immenseness of eternity. In all and above all and through all, please keep us close to you and aware of the heartbeat of your mighty love that comes to us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. Any birthdays coming up, just so we know people we're celebrating with? No one's got a... Oh, come on. Richard, was it? Sorry, no. Tomorrow. Sorry? This week. So Richard and Enid, anyone else? Give us a note, Lucy. Let's sing to Richard and Enid. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Enid and Richard. Happy birthday to you. Hip hip. Hip hip. Hip hip. We're not going to ask Richard how old he is, and so we don't have to ask Enid how old she is. So happy birthday for the week to come. I'm not sure if Kathy's home from hospital, and James told me that, who else is in hospital? Marcy is in hospital. Okay, so please just remember Kathy and Marcy in particular. So that's birthdays, people in real. So coming up this week is our Together on Thursdays. On the third Thursday of the month, it will be a healing service. It's one of our ministries here at Church in the Marketplace. So we get together, first of all, at 6 o'clock, have a small healing service. So if you know somebody who might be helped or just wants that quiet opportunity to come celebrate the sacrament and to pray for healing, then Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Well, morning, folks. If you're here in the auditorium or if you're up in the gallery here at Church in the Marketplace, it's great to be with you. And if you're joining us online, we want to say g'day to you. It's great to have you with us as we open God's Word together. Well, welcome to another part of the series that we've been calling The Track. I saw a video that I thought caught up a few of the ideas that we've been talking about. Now, it's clearly an American video, but you can ignore that little bit of it. I just want you to see what you think. Now, if this describes this video, anybody you know, please don't point at them. And if it describes anyone you know and that person next to you is your husband, please don't dig him in the ribs. I'm just kidding. Watch the video clip.
Have you ever gone on a trip with someone who knows where they want to go but has no idea how to get there? They insist on doing all the driving. They refuse to stop and ask for directions. They talk constantly but never listen. They play with the radio buttons, never staying on the same channel for over a few minutes. They say they're looking for the right song, but can't tell you what that song is. When you try and pull out a map, they tell you they don't need it. When you ask them how they know where to go, they say they have a gut feeling. They have a cell phone, but refuse to use it to call ahead for help. They live in their own world. They make all their own decisions. When they finally run into a dead end and are totally lost, they make an emergency call to 911 for help. They tell you they have learned their lesson. They'll do better on the next trip. But after a few days, they go back to their old ways. Does this sound like anyone you know? Is it how we live our Christian lives? Never asking for directions? Never reading a map?
Rainer, did I leave the pointy thing down there? Any volunteers for that video? So I did invite you during the series, and we've got one more week. So just the reminder remains, next week, if you want to come with something Australian, you know, some sort of hat, or with your the right shoes or the right jeans, then please do that. John's got a few things about a journey that he's going to show us of a recent journey that he did, so we'll just see a little bit of that next week. But please, let's play it up next week as well, last week for this series about the track. Okay, if you've got your Bible or a Bible app, then please open it at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Twenty-nine times the book of Proverbs mentions the path or the track that we're on, our pathway in life. We could say it that way. Here's just a few of them. Okay. In Proverbs 1:15, Solomon warns us about buddying up to people with questionable morals. My son, sorry, I can't see it up there. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. That's a track we don't want to take. In Proverbs 2, verse 9, he talks about following the way of wisdom. Then you will understand what is right and justice, what right and just and fair, every good path. Those are tracks we do want to take. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. In Proverbs 4:26, he adds something to the principle that we've been learning so far. He says, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. So if you've been with us for all or most of this series, you know that we've been saying that the principles that are true in geography are equally true in all of life. Those principles we've called the principle of the track or our path in life. And here's the main one. Our direction determines our destination. Our direction determines it. Not what we hope, not what we feel, not what we think. Our direction, the way we're actually traveling, determines our destination. So this morning I want to add Solomon's qualifier to this statement. One slight modification that I think you'll also agree is true. Here it is. It's what gets our attention determines our direction and ultimately our destination. Or the short version is called the principle of focus. The principle of focus says our attention determines our direction. So as we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Lord, it seems as we read your word that you describe our life journey, our journey with you as a path, as a track. And so, Lord, we pray that as we think about that this morning, as we think about the track that our lives are on, that you would bless us with some new understanding about who we are and the way we're traveling, and you would help us so that the track we are on leads us to the destination you want us to arrive at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why was it that not long ago almost every state in the nation passed laws prohibiting people from talking on mobile phones in their cars without some sort of hands-free device? Because they knew if a person is staring at their phone, giving more attention to it than to the road, there's a good chance they'll steer themselves off the road or maybe steer themselves into somebody else on the road. What we give our attention to will determine our direction, and our direction will determine our destination. People have known that for thousands of years because Solomon taught it to us 3,000 years ago in the book of Proverbs. If you want to look at Proverbs 4:25, here's the whole of his statement. He says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." In other words, our destination is determined by our direction, and our direction is dictated by whatever holds our attention. The things that capture our attention will influence our direction. In the late 1980s, two ministers, both dead now, captured my attention enough to make me think seriously about ministry. Before that time, I just believed that ministry was something I could do in my life outside of work. But somehow their vision about church captured my attention and it changed the direction of my life. In the early 1970s, I met a young woman at a Christian drop-in centre I was part of, who captured my attention in a rather dramatic way. Maybe it's good she's not here this morning to help me talk about her. You know her, her name's Jan, and back then she captured my attention so that I started spending a lot of my time dreaming about having a lot more of her attention. And my attention was so diverted by that woman that there are now people in this world because of our mutual change in direction. Those are both positive examples of how attention influences direction, but I could give us a few negative ones as well. Like every principle, the principle of attention can work for us or against us. If you think for a minute, you'll probably be able to drum up half a dozen instances where your attention got diverted in ways you wish it never had. Yeah? The author Andy Stanley writes, "All of us have people or events or opportunities in our past that reflect the much more frequent flip side. Looking back, there are people we wish we had never met. Looking back, there are relationships we wish we'd never initiated. Looking back, we wish that there are numbers we wish we'd never called. Looking back, there are voicemails we wish we'd never acknowledged. Business opportunities we wish we'd ignored. Life was better before these things grabbed our attention. In many cases, the track in life we were on before they came along was the track that we should have stayed on. But we didn't. What grabbed our attention altered our direction. No doubt we had a mental conversation that went something like this: wow, would you look at that? I probably shouldn't go there, but perhaps I should double check to make sure I shouldn't go there. Yep, I shouldn't go there. Come on now, focus, Peter. Probably wouldn't hurt to go there for just a moment. Remember when common sense seemed to get railroaded by the emotion of whatever or whoever it was that grabbed our attention? Before we knew it, we were moving in an entirely different direction. Usually, there's a strong emotional appeal to the things that grab our attention. We get sucked into those detours because something emotionally engaging is on that track or that pathway. My observation is that the things that tend to grab my attention are sometimes things I should avoid. Advertisers make a living trying to grab my attention. And that's okay. Everybody needs to eat and live, and great advertisements appeal to our emotions. Let's face it, shopping centres and car dealerships are not emotionally neutral environments. But often the things that grab our attention lead to regret. What captures our attention influences our direction. Attention, direction, destination. That's the principle of the track of our lives in three words. As our attention goes, so goes our life. Or as Solomon says it, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, make level paths for your feet, take only ways that are firm, do not swerve to the right or left, keep your foot from evil. So far we've placed two verbs in front of the word attention. One is positive, something captures our attention. The other sounds a bit negative, something grabs our attention. I want to give you two more verbs that may be more useful to you when it comes to our attention. They're part of what is called the principle of choice. We get to choose what we give our attention to. Which leads me to the two other verbs I want to give you. Because besides grab our attention and capture our attention, we can choose to give our attention and we can choose to pay attention. And here's the key. Our emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture our attention. Our intentions tend to fuel what we pay or give attention to. On every track that leads to disaster or destruction, there's usually something powerful and emotionally engaging that summoned us and grabbed or captured our attention. Which is why Solomon warns, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, make level paths for your feet, take only ways that are firm, do not swerve to the right or left, keep your foot from evil. In other words, make a choice. We choose which direction we will go, and then we fix our gaze directly on it. What we give our attention to determines our direction, and the direction we head in determines our destination. So I want to ask you a question. I want to ask me a question. What has our attention these days? Is it a relationship? A career? A house? An enjoyable pastime? Is it a person who's leading you somewhere you don't really want to go? Or a person who's leading you towards where you do want to go? Is it your marriage? Is it children? Is it your faith? Is it an achievement you're hoping to accomplish soon? What has your attention these days? What has mine? Because what captures or grabs our attention, or what we choose to pay or give attention to, will determine our direction, and our direction will determine our destination. Here's a second question. What do we want to have our attention? If we could only fix our eyes on one thing, what would it be? And I want to make a suggestion to you. The Apostle Paul described his approach to life this way: forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He follows that up by saying, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Almost every book in the Bible describes this same focused life in some way. The author of the book of Hebrews says we must pay attention, careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. Some of us here today have probably drifted away from Christian faith for a while, and we wonder how that happened. It happened because of this principle of attention. Our eyes, our attention followed something other than God, and we wound up drifting away from God. So this same author says, here's what you need to do to stay on the right path spiritually. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I like that verb, fix. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't swerve to the right or the left. Don't let our eyes wander. So this is my suggestion for us. Don't let our heart or our attention be captured by lesser things. Focus our attention on Jesus, on following him, getting to know him better, serving him fully, becoming like him more and more every day. In the early days of Christianity, when persecution was just beginning, an unknown saint wrote a song that described really well the path that Jesus took. The song, and it doesn't sound much like a song, but it was, said, Jesus being in very nature God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul took the song and put it in Philippians chapter 2. In his letter to the church at Philippi, because he thought it was important that everyone know that one day every person, everyone with knees, will bow before Jesus, no matter where their track in life has taken them. On that day, he says, some will be in heaven, some on earth, those are the new heavens and the new earth, but some will be under the earth. They'll bow even in that destination. Friends, under the earth is not a direction anyone here wants to pursue. Remember a few weeks ago when we learned that the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Here's the danger I hope we see. If we pursue anything less than Jesus, we may end up bowing our knee before him from a destination we never wanted to arrive at. Which is why Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the path to heaven, the path to fulfillment, the path to purpose, the path to where we want to go. Here's the way Jesus himself said it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Another word for way there is path or track. I'm the track, he said. I'm the path. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Because whatever we give our attention to will determine our direction, and whatever direction we head will determine where we wind up. We have a choice. We can follow Jesus, or we can follow something less. We can let our attention be grabbed by something that feels good for a moment. Or we can give our attention to the one who will direct us all the days of our life into eternity. Which do we choose today? Some of you may have never chosen Jesus before. Maybe you'd like to choose to fix your eyes on him today. In just a minute, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer that will change your eternity if that's the case, because it will change the track that you are on spiritually. I hope you'll pray that with me. Or some of you decided to follow Jesus a long time ago and then Your attention was grabbed or captured by something or someone else. Today is the day to correct that, don't you think? Today is the day to say, Jesus is the Lord, my God. I will no longer have any other gods before him. So if you've never committed your life to Jesus, then let these words, I pray, be your prayer and just affirm them in your heart or in your mind. So let's just all close our eyes. Jesus, I believe that you are the way and the truth and the life, and I'm choosing to follow you today. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Saviour, and I invite you to be mine. And if you're already a believer, then pray with me in your heart and mind. Jesus, I know that you're the way and the truth and the life, but sometimes I haven't been walking your track. Today I'm choosing to put you first again. I choose today to fix my eyes on you and follow you. I purpose to walk your track again, and I'm serious about it. Amen. So folks, as you travel on your life track, can I invite you to come back next week? We have one more important week on this topic. And I want to talk about what to do when we realize there's a track closed sign on your track in life. And you won't be able to reach the destination you were hoping to reach, maritally, materially, physically, or in some other way. Second thing, fix your eyes on Jesus. When you get up each day of this week, talk to him. Spend a few minutes alone with him, either in the book of Proverbs or in some other part of Scripture. And third thing, let me encourage you to pray for a friend who is not on the Jesus track. I fell in love with an old Negro spiritual. And where's Brody? Is he around? Send him a message. I didn't preach for long enough. Okay. Because we need Brody. Old Negro spiritual that simply says, give me Jesus. And Brody wanted to sing it too, so we'll wait for him to come. While we wait for him, how about we pray? Lord, we want to make this song we're about to sing something that captures our attention. Lord, we want to tell you, we want to focus our eyes on Jesus. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus. So Lord, help us as we seek to do that. Help us as we sing the words of this song to mean it with every ounce of who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.